From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford, a studio this morning as we are getting started. Our guest today is Cole Kublik, three-man front on the radio, SEC Network, on your television. He had some interesting thoughts on John Rhys Plumlee on Twitter, so you guys asked if we could reach out to him. We did. Interview is about 25 minutes long. You'll get that coming up here on the podcast here in a little bit. If you're watching on our live stream, you won't get the Cole interview. You'll have to actually click on the podcast to do it, but the rest of it you'll get here as we're getting started on this Tuesday morning. And the podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You know by now all the things we tell you, including the mobile rewards program, the SpeedPass Plus app, the daiquiris lunch specials, the bottomless refills, and much more. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for our friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle. There's no haggle. You just get a quote, and the rest is up to you. You can shop it around, or you can do what I've done numerous times now, what a lot of you have done, and that's get into a Clark Ford today. You'll love the product. You'll love the service. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your car guy and your truck guy. He'll prove that to you. 662-257-1900.
I will tell you, as basketball season is here, on the back of every single ticket inside the pavilion, if you head on over to the Oxford Crystal, you have until July 1st of 2020, so plenty of time to get this hand. You just hand over the ticket and you get $1.50 off a sack full or a steamer pack there with the Oxford Crystal. So you've been finding some motivation every week, Neil. I'm assuming when Thursday rolls around, you found this week's topic for picks.
I did. Sometimes it's so easy that it writes itself. And this week, I have been given the ammunition once again by the Chancellor of the University of Mississippi.
All you gotta do is just sit back and wait, and something pops.
You know, I've kind of taken that approach. Just don't force it. It'll come. And sure enough. Because I have learned, as someone who lives with an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old, that the best way to communicate with young people today is Facebook. And it's how to really reach them. It's how to get to young people is get on Facebook. They are on Facebook all day long. They live it. And so sure enough, Ole Miss, I tell you, the best way not to do it is Twitter. They're not on Twitter. Twitter is for, I guess, for old people.
Well, you know, what's funny about it, for anybody who's missed it, the UM Chancellor account was killed yesterday. It says follow Facebook for information regarding the chancellorship. Look, I followed that account forever. I mean, it was Jeff Vitters and it was Larry Sparks. It's a university account. It doesn't go with the person. And I mean, sure, look, you're not reinventing the wheel. I just don't understand eliminating any social media presence whatsoever. Like, you would think the goal would be to get out as widely as possible, as many places as possible, and kind of see where it goes. I just know. Another little thing where I'm like, what are you doing? Because, you know, we talk about optics every day right now with ADs and chancellors and head coaches and everything else. Optically, it looks like you're hiding. Optically, it looks like, well, I'm eliminating this because maybe somebody said something bad about me. Right, wrong, indifferent. I don't know. Maybe they have a perfectly valid explanation. I've asked a couple of people this morning that I thought would have some inkling of an idea. They just kind of shrugged shoulders and said, I don't know.
You know, I'm wearing a sweatshirt today. I don't know if you can see it on the camera. It's an Oxford Chargerettes sweatshirt.
It is.
The undefeated Chargerettes. And I know a lot of the Chargerettes. The ones that I know are 16 and 17 years old, and I can't get them off the Facebook. I mean, they're on it all day. So I think this is brilliant strategy on how to recruit young people.
Even as things of, you know, he's visited, I don't know, 10, 11 schools at this point. A lot of them tweet out when he's there. You would think you would want to link and tag and those type of things.
I'll put my sarcasm down for a minute.
Yeah, seriously.
This is insane.
It makes no sense.
No, it's beyond that. It's optically awful. And it makes me wonder.
On the same day that the Northwestern School of Journalism apologizes for doing journalism. So we're we've had a really good last 24 hours in the world of the internets. Yeah, sorry, the Facebook. They've just changed their mind.
I said that, so.
Yeah.
I got scolded the other night at Southern Craft Stove and Tap by an older gentleman.
Oh, you did? That's right. I forgot about that.
About my treatment of the chancellor.
Someone actually walked, I mean, like, was critical in person.
Well,
which
I had,
usually
so
doesn't
I got
happen.
There early, and I had a beer. And I opened up a tab because I didn't know whether I'd have like seven beers. I'm kidding. I just had the one beer. I actually had another drink. Had two drinks. And so when I went to finish, I was a responsible citizen. I went and settled my tab. And he wanted to speak to me. And he said it wasn't going to be complimentary. And I said, okay, I'm used to that. And really scolded me on the chancellor thing and gave me the big speech where I had to give him the speech where I said, I'm not part of the program. I don't work for the university. My relationship with the university is really not all that important for what I do. And I disagree. And he said, well, you know, I know you're bitter because you're not giving information. And I said, no.
Through the chancellor.
No, that's not how it works. Now, there is a media outlet that appears to be getting information from the chancellor. It's you've got to decide how much of that you have to filter and how much of it is spent and such and such. Optically, here's the thing. Here's what's fascinating to me. I know there are people there who are saying to him, this is not a good idea. I know there are people there who have corporate communication experience who are saying to him, this is not a good idea, and he's doing it anyway.
What was the roundabout age of the gentleman? Just curious. Because I didn't see you get cornered. I was not around at that moment.
65 to 70.
Okay.
Ish. A little older fellow.
Just curious.
Good bit older than me.
Okay.
Good bit. Maybe 75.
He showed up, though.
Was there, stayed.
And to his credit, he at least said something. Most people don't say anything.
I was good with it.
I mean, engaging in conversation is a pretty good thing.
Yeah, I was good with it. Yeah, he felt like he was giving me advice.
No one's leaving harmed. It's all right.
I'm all good.
Yeah.
He didn't bother me at all. I've heard much worse. I've gotten much worse out and about than that. Much worse. Oh, gosh. The best one was, do you want to step outside? And I realized that was the day I realized that I probably need to stop going out because I did want to step outside. And I liked my chances.
Well, somebody literally said, do you want to step outside?
Oh, yeah, I was pissed off.
Not in a cliche manner because that's the most cliche phrase in the history
thing,
of the world.
The tonsil thing. He was getting all worked up and I told him he was wrong and he kept going and he goes, you want to step outside? And I said, yes.
Do you want to step outside?
And so I got up, and that's when I realized the thought went through my mind. This is not going to end well. However it ends, it's not going to end well, and you need to stop. You just need to start chilling at home. So this was much more pleasant.
Okay.
There was no threatening.
Usually the time of the week of the podcast where I talk about whatever happened during Monday's press conference. Again, not much there. You read into them more than I do. I read them and just go, okay, yeah, all right. Moving on another week. You're looking for hidden meaning sometimes. You're kind of a little more into that.
I
got was a couple injury updates and I the message board had fun with it. Matt was telling the truth. I just don't know how they're planning on doing it. He mentioned that the teams that have given LSU any trouble at all, the teams on offense versus LSU's defense, is essentially winning one-on-one matchups down the field. Alabama, Texas, that's what's happened to this point.
Yeah.
It was that comment where, given the environment of everything in right now, it was going to create conversation.
For the record, the guy that wanted to fight me was a lot younger than this gentleman last week. Anyway.
Yeah, it was not Hugh Freeze.
Here's the one thing. No. Hugh ended one of our big conversations with he would pray for me. So
is that the one where he had the music blaring when you went in his office?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, where I told him he didn't need that. I didn't. It wasn't. That was for my benefit. He could turn it off. we're having one of those days. No, it was not Freeze. I don't even know what the, here's what's interesting with me with Rodriguez. For the second week in a row, he specifically talked about the future as in next season. I don't think Rich Rodriguez intends to go anywhere. I know that rumor's out there, and I'm not saying it's wrong, because, hell, I don't know.
This comes off snarky, and I don't mean it that way at all. I'm being serious. He's an offensive coordinator of an SEC West school. Where's he going?
I know. And he's got two more years on his contract.
Yeah. Unless there are changes made not in his decision, I don't know where he's going. And again, whatever. I guess it's in theory a group of five takes a shot at him as a head coach. But I mean, he's not that removed in the way that thing ended in Arizona. It would take a really special circumstance for that to be the case.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where he would go, and I don't know. I guess he could leave for another offensive coordinator job somewhere. I mean, I'm sure at this point Ole Miss would let him out of the contract. I don't think Ole Miss is firing him. If you fire him, you're going to owe him two-something million bucks-ish, right?
Yeah.
Can't imagine that they're going to...
I mean, he gets an offset, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but not if he didn't go back to work.
Right.
And then you got to pay the next person. So let's do the math here. You're paying him 1.5. I don't know, what is it, 1.2?
Sure, yeah.
Let's call it that for fun. Yeah. And you hire the next guy at another 1.2. Do you really want to pay your offensive coordinator next year $2.4 million?
You'd rather not, considering everything going on right now.
So I don't think he's getting fired. And I don't think he's leaving. And he's indicating that he's not leaving. That's 2 weeks in a row that... Everybody keeps going, well, you need to ask about it. What is it that I'm asking? I mean, I do agree at the end of the season, at the final press conference, do you anticipate making staff changes is a perfectly fair question. And I get people that say, why don't you ask about the direction of the offense? Well, because they talk about it every week. They do not talk like a staff that is upset with the direction of the offense.
There's not a question about the direction of the offense. Yeah.
Probably has been told to find a job, D. Lynch says. Or what? He's got them by the short ones in that scenario. He's got a contract for two more years. We do kind of ask the question, Doar's rule says, I would like someone to ask, is this the style of offense going forward? That is basically asked every week. And it is answered with, yeah. Oh, the answer is, well, look, we're working on throwing it.
Yeah, we know he has to throw better.
We know we have to throw better. We know we have to get it downfield. We're working on it. And we're going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. That is the answer.
It's the difficulty sometimes because a lot of fans at all levels have what they want the question to be. I mean, you can't make the answer come. You know what I mean? You can't.
Yeah.
You can't force the answer that you're looking to get. It can be, everything can be sidestepped so easily that you just don't ever get the answer.
Well, and the other thing is that you don't want to be antagonistic with your question asking.
Right.
And so much of like what you read on message boards and stuff is fan frustration, which is very valid. Yet they're answering the question every week. They answer it every week. And frankly, the words don't matter. The actions do. What you see on the field every Saturday is the offense. Not what they say on Monday. What you see on the field every Saturday is the offense. That is the offense. It's the great thing about sports is that there's really no hiding the ball. You know what I mean? It's you can't disappear like a chancellor. It's right there.
I do find have something I'm fairly interested in this weekend, though, is LSU is very banged up on the offensive front, especially at the tackle position.
Yep.
Ole Miss can get after the quarterback. You've got to think, if nothing else, they're going to really LSU is going to change its game plan. I mean, they can't afford Burrow to get popped a bunch in this game. They've got to find a way to protect him. They're out three tackles. They're both starting tackles are out, and their backup left tackle is out. So there is some opportunity for Ole Miss from that standpoint, and I'm going to be interested to see what the LSU plan is to sort of keep him on his feet on Saturday.
And all they need to do is win the game.
Yeah, they don't need style points at this point.
They're good.
The points are in the barn at
this point.
They've
got wins over Florida, Auburn, Alabama. They're good. All they got to do is just score one more point than Ole Miss, one more point than Arkansas, one more point than Texas A&M. And frankly, they probably could lose the SEC championship game and they'd still get in. They're good. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of like Ole Miss plus the 21. Kind of feels like LSU would just get it done. Run it enough, get it. Clock might move quickly. They're going to get some one-on-ones though downfield, and that's where Burrow can hurt them. Man, he can make real throws.
The way they attack the middle and the deep portions of the field is just different.
Yeah.
Than everybody, maybe Alabama. I mean, they can do it too, obviously. But LSU, it does it schematically better in the middle of the field. Than Alabama does.
I don't know that Ole Miss can create the pressure packages that Alabama did a week ago. And LSU handled them really well. 22, Clyde, I can't pronounce his name. I should. I'm a Louisiana guy. I should be able to say it, but I can't. I got to look at it some more. He did a really good job of blitz pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll get the ball out of Burrow's hands. He's got a quick release. He's a big body. Great athlete. I mean, people do the sneaky fast thing. In other words, he's wide. He can really run. Now, he's not Plumlee running, but he can really run. 4.5-ish, 40. I mean, Burrow's a great athlete.
I don't know what's coming next down the pipe for them. O's done a good job. Isn't it possible this is a one-year blip because of the quarterback?
Sure.
I mean, they're always going to have talent on the field, but the quarterback makes things go.
But they are recruiting at an incredibly elite level right now.
If you get a quarterback.
More national than they've ever recruited. But, yeah, they've got to get the quarterback thing figured out. For sure.
I don't know who the backup is. No idea.
Well, I would think they are a prime candidate to get in the transfer market.
Grab one of the big names.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Which, I mean, unless it's a graduate assistant, you're still waiting a year, but –
yeah, so I mean, a grad transfer type thing.
An immediate player?
Probably, yeah.
Well, I mean, look, duh, if you're a quarterback, sure.
Yeah, well.
I'll play that game.
Well, they're awfully attractive to a quarterback now because you've seen what they can do. I mean, Burrow might go first in the draft. Burrow's going to win the Heisman unless he just – I can't even find a scenario where he doesn't win the Heisman Trophy.
What you think of Mac yesterday?
McIntyre?
Yeah.
Same as always.
Very low key. Not even a bad way. Just low key.
Look. He's done exactly what we said. He was coming in statistically, inheriting such a bad group that whatever he did was going to look good. And he's done well. They look solid. He's getting praised. And I think he, you know, he's the one of the two coordinators that I don't know what he wants to do. I have no idea. I know he probably would love to get the Vanderbilt job. I don't know that he can get it. He's the one that if he wanted a Group of Five job, I think he could go grab one.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
I mean, that's my opinion. I don't know whether he wants to do that or not. I have no idea what Mike McIntyre wants to do.
He's developed a really good reputation as a coach on a builder. You know what I mean? He's had a hard time sustaining necessarily as a head coach, but I mean, he built Colorado into that season. He's done a good job from taking over a program and improving them. So, I mean, there's going to be plenty of candidates to go, hey, look what he did with the defense. Look what he did at Colorado. You know, if nothing else, let's get back on our feet and then we'll see what he can do from there and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places where he would be a good fit. He's got that buyout. He's not limited by what he does next from a financial situation at this point. He can do whatever he wants. So, yeah, I think, I mean, it's pretty good to be Mike McIntyre right now. He's going to have a lot of options.
Sure. I mean, he might be perfectly happy and want to stay here for another year or two. I have no idea. Yeah, no clue. We'll ask him at the end of the season. But coaches aren't going to say anything.
No, he's going to wait on the right answer on that one.
But. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure that behind the scenes, he's at least thrown his name into the Vanderbilt hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vanderbilt might not be able to get Elliott. He might not want to do that. I don't know. I don't know enough about him to know what his plans are. I don't know enough about the Vanderbilt search because their entire athletic department structure is kind of different. So I don't know, you know, who he would want to hire. He's the guy that just hired Jerry Stackhouse as his basketball coach. So, you know, he doesn't necessarily do the traditional hiring. Mm-hmm. So, you know, McIntyre makes a ton of sense there. Frankly, he was the kind of guy that could come in 3 or 4 years, stabilize a program, be a bridge to a potentially better program if you buy into all that. I don't know. He's very popular in the Nashville area. He's very stable. He would make Vanderbilt a better football team, but that's a really hard job. And I don't know. I don't know what Mike wants to do. I don't know whether Mike wants to be a Power 5 head coach again. I have no idea.
We're going to go to Cole Kubelik in 1 second. If you're watching our live stream, you're going to get a break while we kind of transition back into the rest of the show. But for everybody listening on the audio version, we're going to go to Cole. First, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and with rates as low as they've been in about 2 years, good time to talk to Jason. That's 662-234-2704. Or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. OUB also has a commercial checking account, now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. Comes with fully interactive online banking. They can set up any local business to deposit checks from their office and not have to worry with coming to the bank daily to deposit those checks. More than likely, any business owner at another bank is now paying a monthly fee for the account. They're most certainly not getting 1% on their money. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. We're also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. He's a big part of Savannah Square. New 9-acre development, 0.7 mile from the Oxford downtown square, conveniently located east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center. If you're coming up this weekend for basketball, for football, for whatever, and you are thinking about moving to Oxford, thinking about retiring to Oxford, check out Savannah Square. It's they got several homes and different stages of development that you can look at. You can also look at the model home at 215 William Street. All you need to do is go to the website, savannahsquareoxford.com, or give Harry a call or text at 662-801-5621. And we're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. All you need to do is go to GrenadaNissanUSA.com or head into Grenada Nissan and tell Gene and Sandy and Claire and the people there at Grenada Nissan that you heard about it on the podcast. You heard about it at RebelGrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan.
Podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy. G&M is right there on South Lamar in Oxford. They have flu vaccines available. There's $0 copay on most insurance plans. You don't have to wait in line. They will get you in and out as quickly and painlessly as possible. And it is, again, on the square in Holly Springs. That's Tyson Drugs or G&M Pharmacy off South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222. Now here is from Three Man Front and from the SEC Network, Cole Kubelik.
Cole Kubelik joins us now on the podcast. Cole, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on people are going to hear this on a Tuesday, but you're doing this on a Monday night with your little ones in bed, so I really appreciate it.
No, it's no problem. I appreciate you having me.
All right, before we do this, I'm going to say that the stuff you're doing on SEC Network on the sideline and stuff is you and I talked about this. I think you did a Greatest Pod in the South with me and Jay Tate, and your story is a cool story, and the stuff you're doing is fantastic. You're headed towards big things, and I'm really proud of you. And I think your story is one of perseverance and hey, stick to your dreams and all of that stuff that I tell my kids all the time. Don't let other people tell you that your dream is dead. You wait you make up your own decisions about kind of, you know, how you make up your own decisions about your own destiny. And you did that. You had you wanted to be on TV. You wanted to do radio. You wanted to do all those things. And a lot of people told you that, hey, it wasn't going to work out, and you stuck to it. And anyway, I just think it's a cool story, the success that you've had.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It was a long road. It's a weird road, but it's definitely been worth it now. I love what I do every weekend. I haven't worked in 5 or 6 years, so it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know what you mean. All right, so let's get to this. And this is going to sound crazy coming from a guy who covers Ole Miss. So you have been one of several people that are in the national/regional/whatever media you want to call it. I consider you a national media guy, whatever, who, when they watch Ole Miss play, they rave about John Rhys Plumlee. Those of us who cover Ole Miss on a daily basis, we look at this offense and go, this doesn't work. It's not sustainable. This isn't going to work long term. You do a thing on Twitter every Sunday that I think is really cool. I look at it every single Sunday. I never miss a beat, where you kind of go 1 through 14. You look at all the SEC teams that play, and you talk about the good and the bad. And you talked about Ole Miss this week on the heels of its win over New Mexico State. And you talked about Plumlee's progression as a quarterback, and you talked about him throwing darts and that kind of thing. And a lot of people, I don't know that derisively is the right word, Cole, but a lot of people looked at it and said, what is he talking about? Because that's not what they see. So, and look, at the end of the day, it's just football and it doesn't matter. In the whole scheme of life, it's just a game. But when you look at John Rhys Plumlee and you look at this offense, you clearly see something that those of us who cover the program every day don't see. So help me out here. Put this into perspective. Help me understand why, if you're an Ole Miss fan, you seem like you're enthused about where the program is going, where the offense is going. A lot of people who are definitely Ole Miss fans, they don't share that sentiment. Kind of help me fill in the gaps here, if you would.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like I got in trouble on my show, 3 Minute Front, on WJOX in Birmingham today, because I said that I thought my co-hosts asked in a segment that he does every day if we were buying Lamar Jackson. And I said, I'm buying him now. I don't know if I'd buy him long term. And I think he's still more athlete than quarterback, but he's dynamic enough to where he can make it work. And we had a caller that got pissed off because he's basically saying he's a quarterback. He's had a perfect quarterback rating in 2 games this year. He's winning games. He's doing this and that. And I'm like, that's fine, but I'm not saying he doesn't play. And the argument turned into he is a quarterback. He plays quarterback. And my point was, it doesn't matter what position you play. You can, as long as you're dynamic enough to offset other things, you can still make it work. That's kind of what I see in John Rhys Plumlee. Him being as dynamic as he is in certain areas, I think can offset him doing what a lot of other quarterbacks do at a high level. Let's say, namely, Lawrence, Burrow, Tagovailoa. And because of what he's able to do with his legs, and it's not just speed. Speed's a big part of it, but he also has a pretty good feel of how to manipulate some of the reads, how to manipulate some of the option stuff, and that becomes extremely difficult to defend. And I also don't think you're as reliant on other positions to defend that or make that difficult to defend than if you got a guy that can just throw really accurate passes with high velocity far down the field. So I see a lot of the different things that he does that are difficult to defend, and I see how he forces defense to play them. But I also see him growing as a passer. And, I mean, I look at 15-yard out that he throws to Jackson. I saw a slant to Mingo later in the game that's right on his inside number. I saw a seam route to Cooley that was extremely nice. There was one throw in this last game where he's rolling right, and he throws back across his body to Moore, and it's one of those throws that the quarterback's not supposed to ever make, and he makes it, and it's right in between the numbers. He threw an out to Pellerin early in the game that hits him right on the hands. I mean, he had I think he was 11 of 17 in that game. He had one ball hit a kid in a face mask. He had two balls that were deflected, one by a zone blitzing linebacker that dropped out and got in space that he didn't see coming, which is completely understandable. But I was at the Arkansas game, and I see him late, you know, throwing a fade and dropping right in the receiver's hands. You know, we had the Vanderbilt game, and I see him making a couple of throws where you're like, okay, yeah, he's got it. And the most impressive part of what he does, nobody else is going to talk about this, nobody cares about this. Watch what he does on his short throws. Watch his throws at or behind the line of scrimmage. Almost every throw is in a position for the receiver to catch the football and immediately run. They're not reaching back behind them. They're not having to turn their body and torque their body back a different direction. They're not having to look a different way and reach way up high. I mean, it's literally catch and run. There's a lot of value in that. That intermediate accuracy of not just getting the ball to a receiver, but putting it on a receiver where he can catch it and run. Those are the little things that I see. Now, I think we also, sometimes when we judge players, just like maybe I'm not being completely fair to Lamar Jackson because I'm judging him against Brady and Rodgers and Breeze and guys like that. Sure. That's not right. That's not fair to do that to him.
Sure.
The same thing with John Rice Plumlee. We're going to judge him against Lawrence and Tua and Burrow and some of those guys throwing the football. We shouldn't, but I see him progressing. I see him have an understanding of decision-making, where the ball needs to go, when the ball needs to get out, and then on top of that, he has elite escapability that's not coachable and that you can't design a defense to really stop. So I understand that there's going to be inconsistencies. He's young. He hasn't seen a ton of defenses at this level. And I think there's another part of it that people just completely don't want to bring up for whatever reason, and that is opportunity. How many opportunities have you seen him have to just drop back, sit in the pocket, go through progressions, and make throws? Now, I get it. The offense is designed to do what that staff believes it has the best chance of being successful with. So a lot of that is going to be read plays, option plays, plays that manipulate ball fakes and play actions and zone reads and things of that nature, which is fine because I think that's what makes them most difficult to defend. But he's not dropping back and throwing the ball 36 times a game, where if you're doing that, that's what's going to help you grow as a passer. That's what's going to help you become a better passer more quickly. So It is one of the biggest mysteries for me this year in the SEC, along with how bad Arkansas's passing game has been, why Vanderbilt can't find a way to force the ball to their trio of NFL players, why the Mississippi State front seven can't seem to consistently stop people, and where the Tennessee superstars were the first three or four games of the year. I mean, these are like the Bermuda Triangle of things that I just cannot figure out in the SEC this fall. And why Ole Miss fans just for some reason don't like or believe in this kid boggles my mind. I would be thrilled if my team had this elite, dynamic playmaker who had one set of skills that was very dangerous, and you saw clear progression with another set of skills that was maybe going to make him more dangerous. I mean, I'm getting Ole Miss fans telling me, yeah, but he's going to be playing baseball. Who gives a damn? Like, I hope he goes and plays basketball. Like, I mean, so what? I mean, the kid is helping that team win games. And for me, I don't think there's a quarterback competition. There wouldn't have been one after the Alabama game, as far as I'm concerned. He'd have been the guy because he gives you more that's more difficult to defend than you can build around. And if you really go look at some of the throws and you really go study his throws and you don't get overly enamored with what you had last year, which at times was irresponsible, no matter what the numbers look like, and you see the things that can help your team be successful, and I think you'd be behind this kid, and you would believe that you don't have to have an NFL quarterback to win college football games. How many times does that have to be proven? How many times do we have to know that? But for some reason, in this instance, I have like an unhealthy amount of people who should be supporting him and this team that are just essentially throwing in the towel saying, nope, not going to be the same, not going to be good enough. He plays baseball. He's short. He can't throw it 80 yards in the air, and it's not going to work. I don't get it.
Okay, so I'm I certainly can't speak for a fan base, and I don't mean this to play devil's advocate. I'm just kind of curious. I look at him and I think, okay, his skill set beats bad teams, certainly. But against the upper echelon of the SEC, so you're talking about Alabama, LSU, Florida, Georgia, Auburn, maybe Texas A&M. That handful of SEC teams, the rest of the league is like a collection of different things. But against those 5.5 to 6 programs, does he have enough versatility in his game to, assuming that the rest of the team is whatever, does he have enough versatility in his game to beat those type of teams?
It's going to depend on the team. I mean, if you're I'll say first and foremost, I would have taken Auburn first and said absolutely not. And he had them in that game, made some things happen in that game, and they had an opportunity to win that football game.
But it was really it was the fourth quarter, though, before they established any sort of offense against Auburn.
Sure, but that's also the best defensive line in college football against an offensive line that's very average. So
absolutely, that's my point.
Bad matchup.
Took a break in our talk with Cole, and I'll tell you about all the things happening in Oxford this holiday season, including the Christmas parade, the holiday house tours, and more. Spend your holidays in the winter wonderland of Oxford. Enjoy the festive activities of the season, including a holiday concert by the Midtown Men, the downtown Christmas tree lighting, and the holiday ornament auction, all happening this December. Oxford's holiday events, such as visiting with Santa and Visit Oxford, the Holiday Village, and the Elf Scavenger Hunt, are sure to bring magic of the season to you. You can come experience that in Oxford, including the tree lighting, visiting Santa on the courthouse lawn, and more this holiday season. You can find out information for that at visitoxfordms.com or popupoxfordms.com.
Join the Ole Miss women's hoops team back in action on Craddock Court Friday, November 15th at 3 p.m. as they take on New Orleans. Tickets can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com. The Ole Miss volleyball team returns to the Gillum Center on Friday as they take on the Georgia Bulldogs at 6:30. Admission is free. More information can be found at olemisssports.com. The 2019 Men's Hoops Rebel Flex Pass is on sale now. For just $199, receive a ticket to every home game this season with varying seat locations from game to game. This will allow you to experience the pavilion at Ole Miss from all angles. Visit olemisstix.com and get your Rebel Flex Pass for just $199. The Ole Miss Hoops team back inside the pavilion on Friday at 6 as they host Western Michigan as part of the preseason NIT tip-off. Tickets start at just $10 and can be purchased at olemisstix.com. And the Ole Miss football team concludes its home season on Saturday as they host the number one ranked LSU Tigers at 6 p.m. Tickets still remain and can be purchased at olemisstix.com. This week, the Blue Delta team will be in New York City through Wednesday, Naples, Florida on Thursday, Tampa on Friday, and Orlando on Saturday. Locally, Blue Delta will be set up in the Graduate Oxford lobby on Friday night, and the studio will be open 10 to 6 on Saturday. With the 6 p.m. kick, there'll be plenty of time to come get fitted for your Blue Delta jeans this weekend. And don't forget that now's the time to get your friends and family's Christmas shopping done. DM Blue Delta on Instagram or Twitter or email at info@bluedeltajeans.com to ask about a Blue Delta jeans gift card for the upcoming holidays. Yeah, that's my point, though, is that, I mean, when you're talking about the top teams in the league, those are all really good teams. Alabama's a national power. LSU is a national power. Georgia is just on the cusp of being a national power. Florida's very good. Auburn's very good. A&M is solid. You know what I mean? I mean, to beat those teams, you have to have a multifaceted offensive attack.
To an extent, you do. And I think context is big in this conversation because we could talk about, okay, what kind of stops is the defense going to get? What kind of plays are your receivers going to make for you and help you make? Because, I mean, let's go back to the Clemson-Alabama game. It's not like Trevor Lawrence was putting balls right on guys' shoulder pads. I mean, guys were going up and making plays. So it's a lot of that depends on your offensive line. A lot of that depends on your running game outside of his position to be able to provide some balance. And then obviously play calling, play selection, things like that all come into play. And what the group up front does is going to be as important. I think he can be a successful quarterback in the SEC. Yes. I think he has a skill set that is so good in one area that it can offset not having to be great or elite in another area. And that's not different from a lot of other guys that we've seen that have had success in this league, be it pinpoint passers that run a 7.7 40, or be it guys who can run over somebody else but maybe only complete 52% of their passes. But I think with what he forces you to defend on the perimeter and how he forces you to defend it, and already the understanding that he has of being able to read certain plays and manipulate certain plays, that if he continues to grow as a passer based on what I've already seen him grow at so far, I think he can be a quarterback that wins a lot of football games in this league. Now, is he going to be Alabama and LSU every year? No. But I do think he gives you a good chance to be competitive in those games. And I think he brings other things outside of throwing the football and running the football. You know, I think he has good leadership abilities. I think he has a demeanor that you want from a quarterback in this league. It's not going to get rattled. It's never going to be too much for him. So I think those things also come into play.
You've covered Ole Miss some several times over the course of the season, as you referenced. When you look at the program as a whole, let's get away from the quarterback for just a minute, at Matt Luke and the program as a whole, Matt's going to get next season. It's probably going to be a litmus test kind of a year. When you look at the program as a whole from the outside, what do you see?
I see a program that is headed in the right direction. I see a program that has pieces in place that could lead it back to being competitive in that division. And I see a lot of young talent. Man, I see a lot of young talent. And it's hard not to get a little bit enamored with some of it, honestly, and think that if they can just add a few pieces here and there, mainly up front. I mean, I think that's the first place that you look and you say, can you find a way for that group to become better and to become consistent? And if so, you got running backs, you've got receivers, you got a quarterback in place that I think they could build around. And I think another thing that I see that is totally different from last year is I see a much more responsible football team. You know, I think I've said this with you before, just the way that plays were called on both sides of the ball last year was egregious at times.
Absolutely.
I think there was an obvious appetite for statistics and points, and I think there was an obvious desperation to try to assist in making plays on the other side of the ball. And that's not how you win football games. I see a much more responsible team. I see a team that's much more intelligent from a conceptual standpoint, understanding football, understanding alignment, understanding angles, understanding leverage, that is, when more talent is placed there and more depth is brought in, it's going to help them down the road. So I don't look at Ole Miss as an SEC bottom feeder. I don't look at Ole Miss as an SEC team that is dug itself so deep that it's never going to be able to climb out of something. And I think that there's an energy when you're in the building and you talk to certain people involved with the program that is sustainable and can help that thing continue to grow.
I only have a few minutes left with you. I want to get away from Ole Miss for a minute, just touch on some quick SEC topics because I know you're around the league a lot. If I told you that Gus Malzahn is coaching in the SEC next year, but I don't tell you where, do you say Auburn or Arkansas?
I'm still going to lean Auburn because why would you take it? Why would you leave? I mean, I don't have to convince you that Auburn's a better job than Arkansas.
Oh, sure.
And have we seen an SEC team? When was the last time we saw an SEC team this bad? We've seen some bad Vanderbilt teams. But when was the last time we saw an SEC team this bad? That in 2 years had not defeated a Power 5 football team, much less an SEC team. No Power 5 wins. And 2-4 against the group of five. And the other two wins against FCS teams. So you better have some kind of confidence in yourself if you're going to take that one. Because when Chad took over, it was, well, he's got ties in Texas, high school ties there, goes to SMU, he'll be able to recruit Texas, you have to recruit Texas there, which I agree with, but that thing crashed and burned quick. So I don't know what is a fit there. I don't know what will work there. So to tell me that someone's going to leave Auburn to go to that is not something that I would ever think is likely. Now, I do understand restarting the clock. I do understand that there is a big portion of the Auburn fan base that is probably never really going to appreciate the things that Gus Malzahn has done, and that anyone would grow tired of that and be frustrated with that and not understand that. I get it, but I can't sit here and say that I believe Gus Malzahn would leave being the head coach at Auburn to go become the head coach at Arkansas, no matter what the deal or negotiation was that was happening.
LSU wins a classic over Alabama. It was a great game. It was everything kind of is hyped up to be. There's still a couple weeks left in the regular season. There's still a postseason to be played. Does LSU have enough to go the distance?
Absolutely. That offense is so difficult to defend. There are so many different weapons within that offense. And now I think we have to look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire and say, man, I didn't see that. I didn't know he had that. I didn't know he could be that guy. I didn't know that he could be this super dynamic bowling ball SEC running back. Some of that's opportunity. I get it. But the things that he did in that game against Alabama were special. And there are multiple receivers that can be special for them and can do special things. And they got a quarterback that is just as gutsy as anybody in college football and as accurate as anybody in college football and is a great fit for what he's running right now. That thing has been built around him and for him, and he's perfect for it. There's some holes defensively, yes, but they're still super talented on that side of the football. And keep in mind, they haven't been healthy together as one on that side of the football very often. They had a couple of safety injuries they had to deal with Saturday against Alabama. So I think they're a team that they're going to stress you so much with their offense that they make other portions of how they play football a lot easier and allow a lot less stress on other areas of their football team, namely the defense. Look at Dave Aranda. There's not many teams that would go play that much man against Alabama. They just wouldn't. They couldn't live that way. But Dave Aranda knew he had to take away the quick throws, and he had an offense that was putting up enough points that, hey, if they get us deep 3, 4, 5 times, we'll be okay.
Yeah,
they can't stop us. We'll be fine. So let's take away the short stuff, and let's make them hit high-percentage throws. If they hit the high-percentage throws on us, good for them. They'll score a few times, but if the radar guys are scoring, we'll be good. So we can go out and play that way, and it allowed them to be able to play that way.
If I tell you that an SEC team, not LSU, wins the national championship, do you say it's Alabama or Georgia?
Ooh. That's tough because if Georgia wins the SEC championship game, Alabama's out.
Yeah,
I mean, I think they're done.
For sure.
And I think LSU go, unless it's, you know, 56-0 or something.
Yeah,
so,
something crazy.
The reason that I would say Alabama is because of their offense, which would mean LSU would have to win the SEC championship game and some other stuff would probably have to happen. But I love Georgia's defense, and nobody talked about them enough. Right now, I'm going to say Alabama because all they have to do, and this is not a super easy task, is beat Mississippi State and then win at Auburn. And based on the inconsistencies of the Auburn offense, and even though the Auburn defense will limit Alabama, I feel better about them winning those two games than I do Georgia winning at Auburn and then beating LSU in the SEC championship game, which is what they absolutely have to do to even get a chance to get to the playoff and play. LSU beats Georgia, Alabama still has a good chance to get in. So right now, I'll say Alabama.
We'll finish here. You mentioned Mississippi State. Let's finish with the Bulldogs. There's a lot of talk about Joe Moorhead, whether he's a good fit, whether he's not a good fit. There was a lot of talk about Rutgers. It appears that Greg Schiano is getting the Rutgers job. There is still talk about Mississippi State. If they don't beat Ole Miss, that maybe Mississippi State makes a change. When you look at that program from your view, which is pretty close, you're an outsider slash insider. You have a great view of all of these programs. When you look at that program with Moorhead, what kind of a fit do you see? What do you see as its immediate future?
I think he can be a good fit. I think he has some things working against him. And some of those things are, the main one this year is consistency. I think if you're gonna say describe Mississippi State football in 2019, I'm gonna say inconsistent. And I think you saw Tommy Stevens make some throws in his last game that showed you, man, if he's there healthy the entire season, how different could things have been. But the offensive line has a lot of talent, hasn't been consistent. I thought the front seven was going to be great, maybe not as great as last year, but I thought they're going to be really good because a lot of those dudes played a lot of football last year. For some reason, can't get stops consistently this year. But I think he's someone who did not expect or anticipate his staff to be rated the way that it was. I think for somebody who hasn't been in this league for a long time, things like that hit you a little bit harder. Injuries hit you a little bit harder. And then when you have to selectively suspend a portion of your team that was going to help you win games, I think that just – I don't think we pay enough attention to what that does from continuity, from team building, from leadership, from expectation of not knowing who the guy next to you is going to be. When a new guy's lined up next to you, is he going to make calls? Is he going to react a certain way? Is he going to make certain plays? Man, that stuff gets twisted quick, and that makes it very difficult to become an actual football team. So can Joe Moorhead call plays? Can he coach football? Yes, absolutely. I do think he's got a good personality and can be a good fit there in Starkville. It's not the easiest place to win. We know that. It's what makes what Dan did so much more impressive. But I think he deserves a little bit more of an opportunity to help things become more consistent and then prove whether or not he can be a good SEC head football coach.
Cole, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. I really appreciate it. Super happy for your success. I think you're going big places, and I couldn't be happier for you. I think your story is great, like I said at the beginning. So thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, it's always good to be on with you, man. Anything you need from me, let me know, and I appreciate the kind words.
All right, Cole. Good night.
Appreciate Cole giving us a little bit of time last night and on the quick turnaround there with him. So appreciate that. And the podcast is also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. Pure Lawn Care throughout northern Mississippi, but they do also do custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces with paper patios, forestry mulching, and much more. The patch your dream backyard. Easy thing with MasterCuts. It's 662-607-7773. You can also get that free quote online at gomastercuts.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. It is a Marriott property in downtown Jackson. It is home to Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson, where they indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more. And they also have Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, where you can sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships. Gather at Estelle at the Westin Jackson tonight. Also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust is home to the Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services team. If you work with Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services, you gain a valuable advisory team and time-saving resource that will help you develop and maintain a solid strategy for your retirement plan. They're committed to providing you with the personalized attention and involvement that you want and need. Their goal is to help you manage your 401k plan properly and ultimately improve your employees' retirement readiness. So get in touch with their advisory services team today. They'll conduct a complimentary, no-obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the Oxford Exxon podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fees. It's pintrust.com, pintrust.com. Working on picks this morning, setting that up in the system. That is brought to you by Southern Craft Stove and Tap. It's located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford. Southern Craft Stove and Tap places an emphasis on food and atmosphere, mixing the quality of fine dining with the come-as-you-are environment, featuring 30 craft beers, offering a high-quality selection of cuisine and libations. Southern Craft Stove and Tap has you covered for any occasion. Join them for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, or have your favorites catered out. Catering orders placed online currently receive $25 off any order totaling $100 or more. So avoid the chaos of parking on the square. Head over and experience carefully crafted dishes with your favorite Southern ingredients. Southern Craft Stove and Tap, Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford.
Ole Miss returning to basketball action tonight at the Pavilion against Norfolk State. The Spartans are 2-0 on the season.
Yeah.
Did you know they were the Spartans?
I did.
Did you really?
I did.
Before this week?
No.
Okay, that was my question. You saw a media release or something, or a schedule. Okay. They are having a little step up in class tonight. They played the Greensboro College something. Maybe a lion. Looks like a lion. I tell you, Greensboro College, interesting logo here. Dual lions. They have a male and a female lion in the same very inclusive there.
That's
with Greensboro College.
That way no one's offended.
Yes. Norfolk State won 100-59 in that one, and then 93-53 over Penn State Wilkes-Barre.
Oh.
So yeah, it's
Wilkes-Barre, right?
Is it Barry? I thought it was Barr. Is it Barry?
I don't know.
I thought it was Barr.
Yeah, it could be.
So they play Ole Miss, by far the most difficult of this first four-game stretch, because they've returned to action November 14th on Thursday back in Norfolk, Virginia, against the Apprentice School. That's all I got.
The Apprentice School?
Yeah, they have an anchor for a logo. The Apprentice School.
Hmm.
It says Battle of the Classes is what it's called.
Wow, it's fascinating. They could be on the way to big things. The last time we had an apprentice that became president. Think about it.
So you think their applications went up the last couple of years? Is that what you're saying?
Could be.
They got Bradley. They got Northwestern coming up. Anyway, yeah.
Ryan says I'm right. It's Wilkes-Barre.
Really? Okay. I would have screwed that up had I had to say it for any official purpose.
Hopefully you never do.
You don't think so?
Probably not. Yeah, Blake is supposedly going to be able to play the Seattle game
next Tuesday. Week. The Pilots.
Is that right?
They are the Pilots.
That was what the Major League Baseball team was at first, too, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure Seattle's the Pilots. Unless I'm messing that up because of the baseball team.
But the baseball team started as the Pilots, and then they moved. I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just the baseball team, and I'm completely, completely wrong. Yeah, I don't know what their thing is. I think I am wrong now that I say that.
I have no idea.
Sorry, the Red Hawks. I'm completely wrong. Yeah, it's all right.
You were close.
It's fine. Red Hawks, Pilots.
Yeah, the Seattle Pilots.
Things in the air.
The Seattle Pilots became the Milwaukee Brewers.
Right, yeah.
And then Seattle got a... How did the
They should be the Pilots.
How
they
did the Mariners come about?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll let somebody live stream explain that, or we can talk about it tomorrow if you'd like. Either way, playing a dangerous Norfolk State team that's averaging 97 points a game tonight. So, we'll see what happens.
Oof.
Just saying. I don't know what the line is. I'll look at that in a second. You heard anything new in Arkansas as we're kind of moving through things? Any good rumors or tidbits there?
Not really anything more than what I wrote on Sunday. Malzahn thing's real. Cole and I talked about it. For people who are just now listening to the podcast, Cole does not really buy into it. And I don't think that's who the Arkansas fans want. There's a lot of movement on Mike Norvell. A lot of digging on that. I think that's would be a popular hire there. And I think Norvell wants to land a Power 5 job.
It's his home state.
It's home state.
Played at Central.
It makes a lot of sense.
Did you see Memphis' shirts they're wearing during their practice yesterday?
No.
Basketball? They're out in the Northwest. They're playing Oregon tonight. The Memphis logo on the back with a bullseye on it, with a like the red right in the middle of the logo, like in they're in everybody's sights.
Good for them.
They're doubling down. I mean, you have to be admired by the commitment, if nothing else, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all in on that.
I mean, if you're gonna go, let's go.
I am bothered by some of they're targeting us. No, you put the target on your own back.
Yeah, Penny's not exactly the most meek individual when it comes to that. So, Ole Miss's opponent Friday is Western Michigan. They have a home game with Mississippi Valley State tonight. They are 24-point favorites against the Delta Devils, who suffered the worst loss in NCAA basketball history on earlier in the week to Utah, losing by basically 100. So,
yeah, you got to wonder how that happens, right? I mean, how do you lose?
You mean how does it happen from a Valley point or a Utah point?
Both. How do you lose by 100 points? And you know the other coach is like, would like to cool it, but you play.
So you don't blame Utah at all?
No. Here's why. Last night I watched, in the pouring down rain and the cold, I watched a middle school soccer game.
Okay.
And Carson's team won 10-0. And they weren't really trying to run it up, but, you know, hard to tell kids when you have a shot at an opportunity to make a goal, it's hard to say don't make the goal. You've practiced and you've practiced and you've practiced, and they practice a lot, and their practices are hard and they're intense, and you get out there on the field and you have an opportunity wearing the uniform to score a goal. Hard to tell the kid don't score the goal. And so when you bring in the guys off the bench for Utah and they get to play significant minutes, it's hard to tell them, hey, you guys are out here every day.
Mm-hmm.
You bust your ass and you won't get to play in the Pac-12 much.
But here you go.
Here's the ball, but don't do anything. But come to practice tomorrow and work your butt off.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a good point. I mean, then this is the answer. Don't have your starters in, but yeah, to everybody else, go hard, play. Have at it. Do what you can do. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Sort of. Well, it's definitely an opportunity. I don't know if it's an opportunity to actually increase your playing time or anything.
No, it's just getting the books to score. Yeah. So that you can tell your grandkids one day that you scored 12 that day against Mississippi Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
No, I know. Yeah. It's letters. That's points. It's at the end of the year, it's going to be it's in the box score. The line, by the way, tonight, if you'd like to bet on the Rebels and lay the points, you got to lay 23 tonight. So a couple more than Arkansas State last Friday.
I would suspect that the boys at Norfolk State are going to see a little step up in defense tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, again, Ole Miss is going to win the game. It's just whatever. But
oh, well, now if they don't, we'll know where to go.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I think I've covered one Ole Miss season opener basketball game in like the last 15 years, and it's the one they lost. I covered the Charleston Southern game a few years ago at the tip-in. Yeah. I think in the Pavilion, I haven't covered many. I think I've only covered one Ole Miss win in the Pavilion.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think I'm like 1-5, 1-6. I covered the Arkansas game last year. They won. Just beat the crap out of Arkansas in the Pavilion.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was I that day?
I don't know.
Oh, I was in Chicago.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going to that this year.
You're not?
Nope.
The bloom is off that rose, is that what you're telling me?
Well, I just think we're going to do something different.
Okay. The over-under tonight, the total is 140, so they're expecting some sort of 80-60 game, something like that.
Yes. If Carson were offered a professional contract worth millions, he would do it and skip college. He could always come back to college. Carson is not, unfortunately, going to be a... Here's what's interesting about Carson. He scored a goal last night, had an assist.
Okay.
He has started, just for fun, kicking footballs.
Okay.
And he's not bad at it.
Really?
He's already made a 30-yard field goal.
Is your mind going a little bit?
No. It's the most fun thing I've done with him. It's one of the reasons I love soccer. As a dad, I don't know the game. And so I don't ever have – I get to just be dad. You know, like if I go watch a basketball game, I know basketball. And so if I go watch a baseball game, I know baseball. When he kicks, I don't know anything about kicking.
Mm-hmm.
I've never kicked in my life. And so I just go out there and retrieve the balls.
Yeah, because there is no pre-thought, nothing. You're just in.
Yeah.
There is something liberating about that, where you don't have the mental capacity to go, well, hey.
Yeah, and on Sunday, he takes his tee, and he's got one of the little sticks, you know, the three-prong stick that holds the ball.
Yeah.
And he's got the little block and stuff. And he's got a bunch of footballs, and he kicks them, and I just chase them and throw them back. I say nothing. It's awesome. Every once in a while, I'm like, hey, that was good. That's about the extent of it.
So he would beat us in our little competition from five or six years ago.
He'd kill us. Yeah, kill us. He would destroy us. It would be ugly. I would not participate. Because he knows how to kick with the – you kick with your laces.
Well, you could have stopped, and he knows how to kick. We literally don't know how to kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I understand. Foot placement, if you will.
He's a midfielder on his middle school team. On his club team, he's more of a striker, I think, whatever. I don't know. I just go watch him play. It's very liberating. I enjoy being a soccer dad, if you will, because I don't know what it's like being a dance dad. I don't know what's good. I just watch.
We haven't done one in a while. Those were really dumb challenges from the standpoint of neither one of us can kick a lick, and we both picked kicking challenges because we did soccer penalty kicks, and then we did football basically extra points. It was like a 20-yard field goal.
We've never done the free throw challenge, which is the easy one to do.
Free throw challenge would be easy.
A three-point challenge.
I still think trying to hit off a softball player would be fun.
That would be fun. Cause I know the answer is we would not hit it.
I think you would eventually time it up to at least touch it. But yeah, you would be embarrassed for a while. It would take a minute, I think.
And I think they'd have to take it easy.
I don't want to step in front of a baseball player, if you want to be honest. I have no interest in that. I mean, I don't think they're going to hit me, but I'm good. It even my age now and my reflexes, no thanks. I don't need Doug Nikhazy looping in things at me. Softball would work though. Basketball would work. I'd have no chance of returning anything on tennis.
No.
You'd have no prayer.
No.
I've tried that.
We've done
that
the golf
work.
Thing. We could do the golf thing again. That was actually pretty fun.
Yeah, we could. If we had a good camera person, we could even do something where I play you and we figure out how many strokes I have to give you.
You'd have to give me like 80 strokes.
Well, I mean, not 80, but a lot. But I mean, I think that would be the
79.
I mean, that might be fun.
No, I'm not getting hit by a football player. Nope. 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 Nope.
Yeah, I'm not getting in a baseball box. I'm just not. I refuse. Nope. I'm good.
Did you see the video yesterday of Yu Darvish throwing left-handed?
I did not.
Unbelievable. Proof that we're just not all created the same.
Yeah, if you told me there's something you absolutely can put off the menu, it would be an Oklahoma drill with Benito Jones.
No.
I'm good. No. I never.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, never.
It's stupid.
No. I don't know if I'm in shape to go through a basketball practice. I'd be dead for like 15 minutes.
A basketball practice?
Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not getting on a mechanical bull either.
Not doing that? It won't hurt you. You get thrown off on padding. You'd be all right on a mechanical bull. We could do some urban cowboy around here.
Yeah, maybe so. I always have wanted to get a cowboy hat.
Do what?
I've always wanted to get a cowboy hat. Just for fun.
Well, you gave away your cowboy shirt, so.
I know, because y'all made fun of it.
Well, you look like Rascal Flatts. There's a reason for that. And actually wore it in videos, too. I mean, it wasn't even one of those deals where.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay.
Made y'all question my sexuality.
No, we were nice. We were.
You were not nice.
You were nice.
You were horrible. You literally called me the gay cowboy. It was very mean. It was terrible.
No, it was not a pirate shirt. It was a cowboy shirt. It was this weird denim sort of blue color. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of baggy.
It was too big. It is way too big now. So
there are pictures of the cowboy shirt. You just have to find them. We used to do that three for the weekend thing or one of those deals back in the day. And he wore it in one of the videos. I don't know. It was either with Jeffrey or Chandler. I don't remember which one, but it was one or the other.
Two careers that I made.
There you go.
There you go. Look at that.
Yeah. She's in Charlotte now?
I think so.
Isn't that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
The boyfriend's like in Miami.
Yeah.
She goes down there all the time.
Yeah.
He's held on. Proud of him.
Okay. That's kind of it. You watched a little bit of the NFL last night?
Yeah. I watched some of it.
Seattle did some Lord's work. However, 49ers still have a game up on everybody after the Saints abomination on Sunday.
We didn't talk about that at all. What'd you think? It was disastrous.
It was so bad, I never even really got emotionally involved. You know what I mean? Like, it was so bad from the beginning to where I just sort of tuned it out. I turned it off in probably the third quarter. I'll be honest.
It was the most out of sync I've ever seen a Sean Payton offense. Just had no flow at all.
Atlanta had much more energy. The Saints couldn't get off the field. We have a Twitch account. We just decided to go this direction. The Saints couldn't get off the field with all defensive penalties. It screwed up the rhythm of everything. It was a bad look. Not good. I don't really buy into rivalries in the NFL much, but it was a weird game. I didn't find any fatal flaw. I mean, as long as everybody's healthy, but
it's a big one for them in Tampa this week. They got to get back at it.
Yeah, got to go. Yeah, because you can't fall out here. Because I mean, you got a little bit of a gift with Carolina, but they're not. I mean, Carolina's not out of this thing yet. They're only a couple games behind you, and you play them twice.
Yeah, they're good.
You haven't won the division yet.
No, they're good. Green Bay's good. I still think Seattle's a better team than San Francisco, and kind of got not proven last night. It was an overtime game, for God's sake. It could have gone either way.
They were due to lose one, and they lost one.
Yeah, Seattle showed a little more experience. That Metcalf kid, the wide receiver for Seattle.
He's going to be all right. Got a future in this.
Man, how did he get – I mean, all jokes aside, all three cone jokes aside, because that joke's getting old. How did he slip to the second round?
You said it. Three cone drill. Whew. And he's in a little bit of, hey, can he stay healthy over an extended period of time? Because he had some injuries at Ole Miss. Everybody's cautious in drafts. They look for reasons not to take somebody. They found a couple.
Man.
Everybody passed up on an all-pro left tackle because of marijuana.
Yeah, I know.
I mean.
Yeah, that was not good.
Come on. I mean, frankly, it's actually worked out great for Laramie because he's in a good spot in Houston.
Yeah, and it worked out really well for DK, too.
Yeah.
Because he's with a
perfect. He's with a perfect fit.
Perfect quarterback, perfect system, perfect coach for him.
AJ's been very good. He's got all sorts of quarterback issues in Tennessee, but he's been good.
Yeah, AJ probably looks out at Seattle longingly.
He'd like Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Hey, would you pay the signing bonus difference? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Let's jump out there a little bit.
Yeah, he probably would enjoy Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll in that system. It's I'm sure AJ says, you want to switch?
Yeah. All right, for our live streamers, make sure you listen in to Cole Kubelik. That will be up in the audio version of the show, and we will be back tomorrow, I assume. Tomorrow's Wednesday, so I don't know. We'll talk to somebody tomorrow. We'll do that. And
is tomorrow our speaking day?
Tomorrow is our speaking day. Yeah, it's an hour later, though, so I think we're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think we're fine. We'll discuss that, and we'll let anybody know if there's any time changes, but I think we're okay there.
Surprised they're letting us on campus.
Yeah, you know, we hadn't gotten on campus yet.
That's true.
But we're, you know, we'll see you tomorrow. But nonetheless, yes, we are trying to educate America's youth tomorrow, but I think we're in good shape for the podcast. So appreciate it, guys. Listen to Cole, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.